Today on Real Radio.
Drunkenness and drug abuse and all of these things where a person is destroying their life. The Bible says those who live for those things and practice those things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And why does God say that? Don't think for a moment God is saying, you're not going and you're not going and you're not going. I'm really upset with you and you're not going. He's not doing that. He's saying that because he doesn't want you to abuse your life.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues a series called the Worldview Series, a series that encourages us to have an active, relevant, engaging, and culturally involved faith. In part three of What is Our Sexuality, Pastor Jack concludes with What is Unnatural Sexuality? This is not a new issue in our human culture. The lust of the flesh and for things of this world have been a battle since ancient times. But God designed us in His moral likeness so we can lead a pure and blessed life. He reminds us throughout His Word of the devastating results of living outside His purposes and how it can cause not only emotional and physical anguish, but eternal consequences as well. Still, no matter how far you may have fallen into perversion, God's reach is deeper still, with love and forgiveness for all manner of sin. And now here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
This is Newsweek magazine. You can take a look at it on the screens. Newsweek magazine, which I appreciated this article. Somebody at Newsweek found out that things are not working out so good. Man up. The traditional male is an endangered species. It's time to rethink masculinity. There's a lot of evidence, mainly coming out of Europe, that not identifying your child's gender is a great mistake. I literally cannot begin. I can't even believe we're talking about this right now. But it's happening in our culture. And we need to have a biblical worldview about this ridiculous topic, because it's not so ridiculous when little kids, in my opinion, are being vandalized and victimized by a group of insane experts and absent parents, in the sense that they are not there leading, guiding, and directing, and nurturing, and leading this child in the way that they ought to go. And it pains me to say that, but it's true. When a child is born, the parents are to make the determination in the instant. And by the way, let me tell you this, every nurse, every doctor in this room, every biologist, every chemist, you get all the blood evidence coming back, all of the information coming back, and even its hematology confirms that it's a boy or that it's a girl. Why? Because God says, I will make you humans, male and female. Yes, there are very, 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 very rare anomalies, but extremely rare. And that's because of sin in the world. We are a world, our chemistry, you know. Wouldn't it be great if there was no sin in the world? There'd be no cancer if there were no sin in the world. But everybody wants to take something that's an extreme anomaly and make it as though it's the norm. But listen to this. Look to the screens again. This is from Orange County Register. I believe it was last week. Sex change treatment for kids gaining support. About the third paragraph down, an 8-year-old second grader in Los Angeles is a typical patient. Born a girl, according to Genesis, then it's a girl. The child announced at 18 months, I a boy. Okay, whoever heard that and concluded that and thought to build an agenda upon that child's life should have their head examined. I a boy, and has stuck with that belief. Going down, next column, switching gender roles and occasionally pretending to be the opposite sex is common in young children, but these kids are different. They feel certain that they were born with the wrong bodies. Gender identity disorder, a psychiatric diagnosis made up by the experts, and on it goes. This one guy begins to say, we better be careful about tampering with a child's pre-puberty chemistry too soon with hormone-changing drugs. I just want you to hear this and keep this in mind. An 18-month-old does not make a decision like this. Have you ever been around an 18-month-old? It didn't say 18-year-old. It said 18-month-old. We have a 21-month-old right now. They don't do that stuff. This is from an absent or a parent with an agenda. This whole logic is not possible. What in the world is going on? And you say, Jack, that is so freakish. It's so freakish. What are we wasting our time about? Because now it's being taught in our public schools. Gender assignment. Gender reassignment. And in the county of Los Angeles, they're so fantastic and so advanced beyond all others that you get to change your gender from day to day if you want. Whatever you want. Is that not an epitome of when the scripture says that in the end, or just precursor to the destruction of a culture, we know historically that every man does what is right in his own eyes? Do you see why that no one's going to talk about these issues? Granted, and thank God, everything can be repaired at the cross of Jesus. But it's hard to believe that we're living in an age like this. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, that you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. That's an agenda, isn't it? That is an agenda. Who's going to indoctrinate your kids? And indoctrination is not a bad word. Indoctrination is what you're taught. Doctrine is teaching. Indoctrination is teaching you receive. Someone's going to teach your kids. Mom and Dad, the Bible says that you and I are supposed to be teaching our kids. And by the way, let me say this. You say, well, what are you just going to lock your kid in your house and never let him go outside? No. I say this. Teach your kids. Teach them good. Teach them really well. And you know what? I like to put it this way. Galvanize your kids for the culture. You ever seen something galvanized? You can take a nail, galvanize it, and it's impervious to weather. It won't rust. It's invincible. Make your kids invincible. I'm serious. We did this with our kids. It was awesome. It was fun. We did this, you know, 30 years ago. But check this out. To do that, you would say, for example, we taught our kids all about evolution. I taught them. I didn't leave that up to the teachers. I taught my kids evolution because I knew how to package it. I knew how to phrase it. I knew what they would experience in school, how the arguments would be. And so I would say, this is what people say who don't believe in God. They have this worldview, and they come at their existence from this angle. This is their strengths. This is their weaknesses. This is the angle you come from. And this is why your argument is better than theirs. And you tell them why. If you're not doing that, Mom and Dad, trust me, someone is. And you and I are responsible for who that someone is. Why? How come? What? Because it's your kid. It's your child. Look at this. There's a culture that's created. Unauthorized indoctrination creates a culture. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3, verse 1, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. Are we in the last days? For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. Can you believe this is 2,000 years old? Sounds like this morning. Unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. There is a culture created when God is not followed from the youngest to the oldest. And this is vitally important. The Bible says there will be perilous times. That word means that the evils will wear down the people. It's amazing. Third and final point. It is unauthorized in nature. What is unnatural sexuality? It is unauthorized in nature. See, what I mean by that? It means this, that nature knows no witness of unnatural sexuality. Giraffes do not practice unnatural sexuality. Boy giraffes chase girl giraffes. Why? Because God put it in them to procreate, to carry on the species in nature. Okay, hang on to your seats. Unauthorized in nature, Why is unnatural sexuality among humans unauthorized? Because look, it serves no practical purpose. You guys, aberrant sexual activities are for sexual satisfaction only. Listen, do you guys remember a couple weeks ago or a couple months ago, we played Ray Comfort's 180 movie, right? Documentary? I don't know if you caught it, but there was a real cute little girl there standing on the pier, and Ray Comfort asked her, have you ever sinned? And she said, well, yeah, I guess I maybe think so. I don't know. He said, well, have you ever told a lie? And she said, yeah. And he said, okay, well, what does that do? If a person tells a lie, what do you call them? She says, a liar. He said, have you ever looked at a man and had a lustful thought in your mind? And she said, no, I'm gay. Remember, she said, no, I'm gay. And as though she was okay, that's okay. You can lust for the same sex and that's okay. But that's not okay. This is very, very important. Listen, unauthorized sexual or unnatural sexual affection serves nothing but your passion and your lust. It cannot propagate the race. If it's right, then what does it produce? If there's any biologist in here, what does it produce? Does it produce life? Does same-sex connection produce life? Oh, we know scientifically, biologically, and chemically that it actually produces death. It does the opposite. But our culture is exalting it. Well, how come? And why is it being served up as a premiere that now, if you have same-sex attraction, homosexuality or whatever, that there should be special rights for you? But then wait, shouldn't there be special rights for... So then where do you stop with special treatment on that? Then we need to have a special Japanese consideration and a Portuguese consideration. I'm Portuguese, so I want special consideration. Where do you stop with this? Why are we changing the curriculum in California to teach gay, lesbian, transgender, bisexual practices in California? Why not some other issues? Or why not leave that up to parents or leave that up to others and have the school system do math and do reading and do sciences? Why not with that? It serves, actually, if you do research on this, and I've done this, it serves no practical purpose but sexual satisfaction, gratification. And even then, it's not satisfying from what we've read. In Romans 1:27, it says in the Bible, it says, likewise also men leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what was shameful. The Bible says that this is a sin. And listen, contrary to what you're seeing in the culture, God can forgive us and give us power to overcome all these things. Listen, homosexuality never entered my mind in my life. I was crazy about girls. Guess what? If you're here today and you say, well, not me, I was crazy for the guys and I am a guy. Do you understand something right now? Both are equally the same sins. Both are equally wrong to God. Do you understand that? One's not worse than the other. They're both horrible. They're both not allowed by God. He says so. You say, well, I don't like that. I don't tell you. I didn't write the book. And the next thing is this, and we're almost done. I mean it. It results in emotional devastation. Unauthorized, unnatural sexuality results in emotional devastation because the person knows down deep inside that they are living against their very creative purposes. And the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:6, for of this sort are those who creep into households, for example, and take captive or make captives, gullible women laden down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. What is that statement? That statement, Paul there is saying that there's a path that you can continue on in sexual immorality that leads you down a path where your emotions, your life become seared. And God doesn't want that to happen to any of you. Or anyone. And then here we close with this. Unauthorized in nature, it causes physical destruction. Can you just write this down? Physical destruction with eternal consequences. The Bible tells us, listen, I don't even want to quote these verses. In fact, I'll paraphrase them. You can write them down. Look at them later, please, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 5, Galatians chapter 5. Mark those verses down. Listen, and I close. All those scriptures right there say that sexual immorality, it gives a list of them. It also puts it into robbery and drunkenness and drug abuse and all of these things where a person is destroying their life. The Bible says those who live for those things and practice those things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And why does God say that? Don't think for a moment God is saying, you're not going and you're not going and you're not going. I'm really upset with you and you're not going. He's not doing that. He's saying that because he doesn't want you to abuse your life. And so, church, as we wrap this up now, as we shut this down, my heart breaks for our culture. Some of you are maybe older and you just don't know what's going on and you're happy. But when I see these kids going through our campus and these young ones here, your kids, ask them what they're being taught. Ask them. Sit down with them. Take them out and go get a Coke and sit down. Say, tell me what's going on. Tell me what's being said in your health class or in your science class. Tell me what's being told to you in your history class. Parents, get involved. Get involved in your kid's life. Close your Bibles. In fact, close your Bibles. You can bow your heads in an attitude of prayer. I want you to consider this. Tonight, the Bible tells us that Jesus died for all manner of sin for us. These are heavy topics. If in some way, shape, or form these issues are not ours, we know somebody in our life in whom they have to deal with this. But maybe you're here tonight, and because it's such a sensitive issue, I am not going to ask for hands to be raised. I'm not going to ask you to stand up or come forward. But I'm going to ask you right now, wherever you're at, right here, that you would call out to God if your life is guilty of sexual immorality, unnatural sexuality, fornication, adultery, homosexuality, whatever God might be speaking to your heart right now, lying, pride, self-righteousness, jealousies, sin. Do you understand tonight that we are all in the same boat? And for many of us, we have woken up to the fact and we've said, Lord, that pride, that's mine. Lord, that temper there, that's mine. My goodness, Jesus said, if a man looks at a woman with a lustful thought, he's committed adultery in his heart. Male or female, tonight you could say, that's my sin, Lord. Here's the question tonight. What will you do about it? You see, God wants to set you free and liberate you forevermore. I know not that God's not popular right now in our culture. I know that his Bible is not popular in our culture. Popular is not always right. He loves you personally. Right now, right here where you're at, you can pray something like this. You can make the words your own. But you can say, Lord, cleanse me of my sins. I have been victim and party to this or to that. I am now choosing, I am deciding, I'm tired of it, I want to change, I'm convicted by it. I want to know the love of God. And Lord, I'm asking you to come into my life and take possession of me. Make me a new creation. Make me a brand new person. I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins and rose again from the grave. I put my trust in him. Maybe tonight you're here and you've been a victim in your life. Someone has perpetrated abuse against you. Maybe homosexual abuse or violent abuse, something. And you couldn't defend yourself. And you, and we don't, it's just amazing to me, but you were the one who was attacked. You were the one who was wounded. You were the one that was taken advantage of. And you've hated yourself all your life because you never could reconcile the trauma of it all. And you, it has affected the way that you think. It's affected the way that you've lived. And this strange thing that goes on with that scenario where you wrongfully hold yourself responsible. And so to somehow exercise control in your life, you've resulted or reduced yourself down to self-violence, which is very common. You've tried to mutilate yourself or cut yourself because you're trying to gain control of something that happened to you, and then you lost your innocence. And God is saying tonight, you don't have to live like that anymore. I want to give you the Spirit of my son Jesus, and I want to put a sound mind in you again. And I want to give you the power to forgive that perpetrator so that you'd go free. Dear God in heaven, I pray for these who are going through this, a struggle tonight in this. God, I pray that you'd give them a special manifestation of your presence. I guess I'm asking for training wheels for them right now to help them along, that they might know this freedom that's in Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, that I stand here tonight, and many, most often, I'm very transparent, but I thank you that there's things, Lord, that you know in my life that you have taken care of, things that I don't ever even want to even think or speak of, that you have delivered from my life as a kid and give me victory. Lord, tonight may there be no one here that thinks somehow that their situation is bigger, stronger than the blood of Jesus. Not so. So Lord, heal now, we pray in Jesus' name.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called What is Unnatural Sexuality? A study on the role of sexuality in our Christian faith. Today's lesson was just one in our series called the Worldview Series. It's a series that looks at worldview issues through a biblical lens. Thanks for listening. It's our desire that the more you understand biblical worldviews, the deeper your understanding of God's will and purpose for your life. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. And before we let you go today, I want to remind you about our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. It's a great website, real easy to point and click around and get what you need from Real Radio. We've got a lot of resources there. We've got sermons, we've got YouTube, we've got the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. That's a real easy way to access everything that is Real Radio. That's a great app for you to spend some time on. That's at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.